Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And I really believe that it happens when we use things like inquiry-based learning and design thinking and project-based learning. And although we sometimes get hung up on the ideas and the strategies and whatnot, the important thing to remember is that it's all about empowering students with voice and choice. And so today's topic might not initially seem like it has to do with project-based learning or with design thinking or with any of that. It's about PE. And the reason I bring this up is I believe to my core that there are things that classroom teachers could learn from PE teachers. Now, I want to point out, I get it, that I'm not saying PE teachers don't have classrooms. They do, but often it's the gym or it's the field or whatever. What I'm saying is core teachers, people who are teaching, you know, math, science, language arts, social studies, they can learn a lot from PE teachers. And I want to share that, first of all, by telling a quick story. So, 6 years ago, I led my first PBL workshop for a group of high school teachers. Now, I at the time was teaching middle school. It was the summer after my 10th year in the classroom. And at the time, I felt pretty confident that I could facilitate a whole day of professional development. I knew, for example, that the things I didn't know about PBL or the things I didn't understand would be filled in by all of what the people around me understand. I love the concept that, you know, the smartest person in the room is the room, although it's not true. The room is not smart. It's just drywall and texture and paint. It's the people in the room. It's the network of information that goes back and forth between the people. That's where the wisdom is. That's where the knowledge is. And so although I was leading this workshop, I was also excited about what I could learn from everyone there. And it was going pretty smoothly. But then I noticed something. There was a group of teachers looking away, and they had their arms crossed, and they just weren't that into it. A few times they passed notes, or they looked at their devices, they chatted with one another. And finally, it took a while, but I worked up the nerve to talk to them. "So how's this group doing?" I asked. A woman shrugged. "This really isn't for us," she said. Wait, what do you mean? "Well, we're PE teachers. You've talked about having students doing research and doing reading, and I get that, but I need to keep kids moving. That's not what I teach. I don't teach reading, I teach PE." The man next to her said, "It's always like this. We go to trainings, but they don't really apply to what we teach. At least you're entertaining. You made us laugh." "Yeah, you're not dry," the woman said. I've actually kind of enjoyed some of this, but really, this doesn't apply at all to what I do." A third teacher added something. "When you teach PE, people always want to tell you to integrate reading or writing or math into your curriculum. But what about those core subjects? What could they learn from us?" That question lingered for days. And in fact, on some level, it has lingered for years. What can we learn from PE teachers? So for the last 6 years, my approach to PBL workshops have changed dramatically. And I moved from teaching at 8th grade, 7th grade, to teaching at the university level. And I began to work more and more with PE teachers and art teachers and music teachers and people who were, honestly outside of the area of what I had ever taught. And I try my best to focus on, what does PBL look like in every subject, including PE. But there's still that question, what can we learn from PE? And this question that was asked right there in my first workshop has changed my entire approach to how I conduct workshops and how I do my university courses and how I spent my last few years teaching 8th grade. When that teacher challenged me to learn from PE teachers, I paid attention. And I began to notice the PE teachers in my building that I had been ignoring. I watched Coach Yancey give more precise feedback than I ever gave. I sat down with my brother-in-law, David, who is an amazing PE teacher, and I asked him, hey, what can STEM and journalism teachers learn from PE teachers? I've had some colleagues that I've worked with at the university who had taught PE before moving up to higher ed. And same thing, I love asking them, you know, what are the areas that I don't see? What are those things that I could be learning that I have failed to know because of my own biases? And I mention this because for the last 2 weeks, I've been teaching my brand new cohort of pre-service teachers. There's 30 of them that we share together, this woman, Brenda, and I, and we are sort of their cohort leaders. And six of them are PE teachers, and that's what they're going to be teaching this upcoming year when they do their student teaching, and eventually when they land their jobs. And they've been reminding me yet again that PE teachers have so much that they can teach the core subject areas. And so the following are a few of the things I think we could learn from the master PE teachers out there. Number one, make learning fun. Often PE teachers make a conscious effort to get students excited about their content area. They create games and contests to get kids excited about movement and skill development. They play loud music, including those really annoying, dreaded kids' bop songs. And my initial thought is, well, yeah, I get it. PE, it's a fun subject. Kids come in liking it, but what about math? However, most kids aren't that excited about running. While many kids will say something like, I'm just not good at math, there's probably close to the same number of kids who will say, I'm just not an athlete. The best PE teachers inspire kids to fall in love with movement and to see the subject as fun. Now, don't get me wrong. There are so many science teachers who do this with experiments and projects, and math teachers who make things fun and make math less frightening and scary, and they turn it into something totally exciting. And there's social studies teachers who are getting kids to love history, and language arts teachers who have silent reading time where they're reading this choice-based literature, and then they're doing debates and discussions, and they're blogging, and I get it. There's so many rooms outside of PE where fun and joy are a critical part of the classrooms. But I'll also say this, in many of the buildings that I visit, PE is the subject where fun is at the forefront. And I think we can learn from that. Number two, assess on the go. When I first began teaching, I viewed instruction and assessment as essentially two separate activities. I would instruct during class and assess at home. And each week, students would take a quiz where they would look at the data and figure out what they need to do differently, and I would use that data to figure out how to teach better lessons in the future. And that was pretty much how it was. It was like two different sides of the coin. But they were never together. They were never integrated. They were two different domains. But as I shifted toward project-based learning, I realized that we could assess on the go. So I began assessing in the moment so I could modify the lessons. And over time, I began to implement peer assessment, like the 20-minute feedback system. There's a video about this on the blog post that goes with it. And I started doing, self-assessments, including concept maps and reflections and student-generated checklists and surveys. And I also began using checklists and observations in the moment to monitor the students as they progressed. While the journey of improving my assessment practice took years, it would have been way faster if I had just paid closer attention to the PE teachers in my own building. They regularly use checklists. They walked around giving frequent feedback. Our PE teachers knew that shorter, in-the-moment specific feedback would help students monitor and adjust on their own. By default, I had always viewed assessment as a noun. It's something you give to students. It's something they take, right? Like they're taking a test. But PE teachers reminded me that assessment is a process, or if you're Canadian, it's a process. It's an action. It's a verb. By changing my approach to quicker, more specific, timely feedback, I was able to help my students where they actually needed help. Number three, break tasks down. This has always been a real weakness of mine. I tend to be a big picture person, and I struggle to break tasks down into things that are a bit more manageable. I thrived when I would be teaching concept attainment lessons or doing large PBL units, but I struggled whenever I had to teach students a specific discrete skill. Now, it might have been like a Photoshop or iMovie lesson during a documentary project or a specific math skill that they were learning as they were trying to understand linear equations. However, I improved this skill from watching a few master PE teachers at my school. Typically, they would break down a task to the most concrete level, and then they'd have students practice that. Often, they would include peer feedback, so they'd be looking at each other and giving one another feedback when the teacher couldn't. Now, students were constantly learning from each other. Then, as they mastered a few skills, they would add new skills, combining the new set with the previous one until it was coming together to make a whole. In other words, direct instruction was never entirely teacher-directed. It was highly interactive. By breaking the tasks down, they reduced the cognitive load for the students, and they were better able to remember and retain the information. Now, this is what good PE teachers do, and often it's what good coaches do. And so many PE teachers are strong coaches that it's no surprise that it shows up in their class. But that's not where I default as a teacher. I'd much rather hand a student a tutorial and say, figure it out on your own. Or just skip the skill and focus on the concepts. But I began to learn that this is something that I should be watching. I've noticed that it's a strength for most of my PE teacher candidates that I have right now. And it's one that, honestly, I am still improving as a professor. So the idea is, again, number three, to break tasks down. Number four, movement matters. PE teachers often remind us that learning happens with the whole body. It's easy to view it as a cognitive process that's stuck up there in the mind, but emotions and energy levels and tactile interactions, these all play a role in cognition. Learning doesn't just happen in the brain. The brain is connected to the whole body. We learn through viewing and listening and speaking and touching. And that matters. As we think about the physicality, again, I want to go back to this idea of the energy levels. In Daniel Pink's book, When, he shares the fascinating research on the best time of day to learn new content or to analyze information or to think divergently. And it all connects to, you know, each person's circadian rhythms. And when I shared this research with my cohort this last week, the pre-service PE teachers responded with kind of an overwhelming, like, duh, for lack of a better term. Like, they got it. I remember someone said, everyone knows that. You teach different lessons to the morning than you do to the afternoon groups. But this was actually eye-opening for some of the other students in my cohort who hadn't really considered the role of the physical body in deconstructing a text or solving an equation. So what do we do about it when we have a classroom, when we're not teaching team sports or personal fitness or any of those things that typically fit into PE? Well, as classroom teachers, we can incorporate more movement into our lessons. Instead of doing a typical discussion, do a value line activity. Instead of sitting down for a close reading activity, do a rotating reading activity where students move from table to table, deconstructing text and adding to their graphic organizers. It might mean using those Kagan structures that, typically you see in the primary grades, but are actually beneficial for everyone. You know, things like the stand up, hand up, pair up, or the carousel activity. It might involve using TPRs to teach, students how to learn new vocabulary. And a TPR stands for total physical response. It's basically where you have hand movements that fit into the vocabulary words that they're learning. A simple diagnostic question here is, are students learning using their whole body in my class? Or are they just learning, quote, in their minds, right? I also think it helps to take it on as from the perspective of a student. Now sometimes this might involve, you know, asking students questions or giving them surveys, ask them, are we moving enough? Are you tired? Are you this? Are you that? Taking a quick pulse check on their energy levels, but also remembering what it's like to be a student. My friend Luke got a chance to shadow a middle school student for a day. And I asked him how it was. And one of the things he responded to was, he said, I just wasn't used to that much sitting. I wasn't used to being stuck in one space for the whole day, going from place to place to place. That was different for me. And again, it's eye-opening because that's not the norm in a PE classroom. Now I get this. I'm not saying that PE teachers are better than language arts or science or social studies or art or music or math teachers. But what I am saying is there are things that all of those teachers, and again, those are the subjects that I taught, all of those teachers can learn from PE teachers. And the reality of innovation is that it's oftentimes not a brand new idea that leads to innovation. It's an idea from a different domain or context or discipline. And I would say that sometimes when teachers who don't teach PE, who are in, I guess, more traditional four-wall classroom spaces, when they take the time to observe and interact with and listen to PE teachers, they are far more likely to innovate in their own practice. And in the end, that's what ends up being best for our students. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy it, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.